This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at this week in the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Cattle futures down in reaction to President Trump's comments on consumer beef prices. Trump said an announcement would be made soon to address the cost of beef. North Dakota Stockmen's Association Executive Vice President Julie Ellingson.
Well, I don't know the specifics of what the president has in mind and what that all means. The remark, though, however, was certainly concerning. Absolutely, we've been steadfast against any artificial market-altering type of policies and really believe that consumers, not the government, should be those that set the market. And so we need to learn more about what the president has in mind to understand that, but that certainly has been our principles as we look at this issue and others over time.
Just like other foods, supermarket prices for beef have risen, yet there is unprecedented demand for beef.
It's interesting to learn that the U.S. consumer works about 14 minutes on average to buy a pound of beef. And what's so interesting is that number really has held steady for decades. There's some research out by Robo Research that suggests that that number of minutes is actually below the previous peak levels that date way back to the 1980s. And so that really beef prices have not risen any faster than the improvement in overall hourly wages. And so I think that's an important thing to consider, as well as the value in the high quality product. Really, it packs a punch in terms of the nutritional value.
With trade tensions between the U.S. and China at a fever pitch, gold and silver prices are continuing to break record highs.
You know, with gold up 115 and silver up $3, that does not mean interest rates are calming down.
In the Ag Bull podcast, commodity broker Tommy Grisafi says the rally in the precious metals keeps inflation in the conversation. However,
I think fuel and energy would way eclipse who really needs gold on a day-to-day basis, right? It's something we talk about. It's fun to talk about who needs silver, but energy we use all the time. So keep an eye on that. Well, a great gauge of that, folks, if you want to go out there and just search CRB, the overall commodity index, and see how that's doing.
Consumer sentiment held steady in October despite the ongoing government shutdown. According to preliminary data from the University of Michigan, the index dropped slightly to 55 from 55.1 in September, performing better than economists expected. According to a new report from the CoBank Knowledge Exchange, another 4 or 5 quarter point interest rate cuts are expected through the end of next year. That would put the baseline interest rate around 3% at the end of 2026, the scenario expected to provide relief for the ag sector. Fertilizer prices remain the biggest headwind for farmers. High crop input costs will also impact profitability. The U.S. economy is showing mixed signals, creating uncertainty for the Fed ahead of its late October policy meeting. According to the Fed's latest Beige Book report, overall economic activity remains mostly flat as businesses report higher input costs and more layoffs. Despite that, employment levels are steady and consumer spending continues, largely supported by higher-income households. USDA weekly grain export inspections report showed mixed results across commodities. Corn inspections reaching 313 million bushels so far this marketing year, up 65% from 2024, reflecting strong global demand at current prices. Soybean inspections totaling 149 million bushels, down 26% from last year, as demand continues to weaken during what's typically the seasonal peak in October and November. Wheat inspections coming in at 392 million bushels. That is up 18% from 1 year ago. U.S. ethanol production rising slightly last week, averaging 1.07 million barrels per day, up 3,000 from the previous week, 3% higher than a year ago. This week in the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Are you a worrier? I know I can be. In the spring, any day that I'm not in the field means another sleepless night. I am Darren Hefty with Hefty Seed Company. Farming comes with enough worries. Your corn seed shouldn't be one of them. That's why we developed Hefty Brand 40 Series Corn. As the only corn in the industry recommended for planting in 40-degree soils, 40 Series Corn gets you into the field before anyone else. When the other guys are losing their sleep trying to get their crop in, well, my corn will already be in the ground. Plant early, sleep better with Hefty 40 Series Corn.
October is National Co-op Month, celebrating the impact cooperatives have on our daily lives. 1 out of every 3 Americans are members of a cooperative, and there are more than 40,000 co-ops nationwide. With the cooperative movement, farmers leverage their combined influence for the good of all. This October Co-op Month message brought to you by the North Dakota Farmers Union, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, and its Dinner Bell Creamery. The future is cooperative.
With this week in news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. President Trump's threat of 100% tariffs on China may not happen November 1st. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent seemed to suggest a trade truce is possible between the U.S. and China.
I believe China is open to discussion, and I am optimistic that this can be de-escalated. Ultimately, we are confident in the strong relationship between President Trump and President Xi. We've had substantial communication with the Chinese over the past few days, and we believe that there will be more forthcoming this week.
Bessent said Trump still plans to meet with Chinese President Xi at the economic summit in South Korea at the end of the month. President Trump's social media post suggesting a boycott on Chinese cooking oil has major implications for the U.S. soybean industry. However, Minnesota Soybean Growers Association Executive Director Joe Schmintek says it's biofuels policy issue, not a trade issue.
What's happening is we're having China, some of these other countries, either saying something's used cooking oil when it's palm oil, virgin palm oil, or it is Argentinian soybean oil, South American soybean oil that, you know, it's their whole soybeans that are going over to China, getting crushed, and then China sending us back the oil. In a lot of cases, barely used, barely used cooking oil. And it's about capturing these credits in California under their low carbon fuel standards.
Democrats speaking out against President Trump's tariff policy, saying it's costing American farmers crucial markets they're unlikely to get back anytime soon. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
Donald Trump didn't create these markets. In fact, government didn't create these markets. Farmers themselves, through checkout programs and hard work over decades, established markets globally that allow us to thrive, allow us. We produce way more food than we're going to use here. It allows us to feed the world. It brings stability. And right now, all of this is at risk.
Due to the stalemate in Congress, action on important farm policy is on hold. Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Fischbach says the shutdown is serious business for agriculture.
You know, the $13 billion that was transferred over to the USDA for tariff relief can't happen until we open back up. And so it's absolutely something. We need to get the government back open so that we can continue to move. You know, any kind of skinny farm bill's on hold. You know, to deal with that Prop 15, those conservation issues, any of that stuff. So everything's on hold right now. And I know that the farmers right now, we need to get something with that tariff relief. And unfortunately, we can't right now.
Trump administration proposing an additional $20 billion in financing for Argentina, combining support from sovereign funds and private sector sources. House Ag Committee ranking member Angie Craig criticizing the plan.
This is such a slap in the face to America's family farmers who are hurting like crazy right now because of Trump's trade war. Soybean farmers in particular have lost all of their business. China has taken that business to Brazil and guess where? Argentina. So Donald Trump and Republicans are literally bailing out our competitors and leaving family farmers in the dust. It's egregious.
The EPA may be one of the agencies facing job cuts due to the government shutdown. EPA employees have received an email about a reduction in force. The number of EPA employees impacted is not known. U.S. and China charging new port fees on each other. The United States started it as a way to support American shipping companies, increasing fees by millions of dollars for each Chinese ship in a U.S. port. China retaliating with new fees for U.S.-owned, operated, built, or flagged vessels. This is in addition to the 100% tariffs threatened by the president last week. This week in news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Minnesota Corn Checkoff is a small investment with a big impact. Each year, checkoff funds support on-farm research that improves the productivity and efficiency of corn farming. Checkoff-supported programs also help create new uses for corn and ethanol, open doors to new markets around the world, and develop the next generation of farmers and ag leaders, delivering opportunities for corn farmers, rural economies, and the future of agriculture. That's the Minnesota Corn Checkoff. Learn more at checkoffdelivers.org. The Red River Farm Network is reporting agriculture's business with the markets, farm news, and weather information you need each and every day.
Again, hats off to you, Don, and the Red River, what you guys do, connecting your listeners to what's happening and people and telling stories. You guys are doing an awesome job at it, so thank you.
That's Greg Peterson, better known as Machine Repeat. The Red River Farm Network can be heard from Worthington to War Road, from Bismarck to Bemidji, 23 radio stations, and online at rrfn.com. This Week in Weather, I'm Don Wick. This past week filled with some rainy conditions and a turn to colder weather, World Weather Incorporated senior ag meteorologist Drew Lerner says once we get to November, those temperatures will drop even further.
If we get to the end of October and the beginning of November, I think we should anticipate a little bit more cold weather, especially in the latter part of November. Right now, we're kind of looking at the tendency for a little bit more meaningful shift towards colder bias conditions at that point in time, and maybe we'll pick up a little more precipitation as we transition in that mode.
The National Weather Service says La Nina conditions have developed and are expected to persist through the winter, bringing cooler and wetter weather to the region. Below average temps forecast for Montana, North Dakota, and northern Minnesota, along with above average snowfall for the northern plains. Harvest is moving along in the Ada, Minnesota area. Farmer Neil Rockstead says the soybean harvest wrapped up before sugar beet harvest began, thanks to a stretch of good weather.
I was pleased with the soybean crop. It was better than I expected it to be. Certainly looking back to June when they were slow to come around and had plenty of IDC and seemed kind of stunted and cool weather. You know, I didn't have a lot of optimism at that time, but they came around and we got some timely rains and harvested above average crop of soybeans, so I was pleased with that.
Rockstead says the sugar beet harvest is now in full swing with fields showing solid tonnage and sugar levels. For the most part, the soybean harvest has been put to bed in southwest Minnesota. Matt Widboom, who farms at Worthington, had an above average crop with yields in the 60s, 70s, and even better. The average was brought down by areas with disease pressure. Widboom estimates 60% of the corn has been harvested in southwest Minnesota and northwest Iowa. It's been a dry, dusty summer.
Just such a repeat the past few finishes to our growing season where the water turned off, the heat stayed consistent, and our corn dry down was really rapid. I mean, there's a lot of 13% corn being combined now in southwest Minnesota.
Stalk strength remains good and yields are above average. The potato harvest has wrapped up in the Larimore, North Dakota area. Carl Hoverson says the harvest has been a bit of a grind.
Oh, it was a long harvest, a lot of hot weather, so we had to wait a lot of days. And most days we worked this year were all half days. We started at 4 in the morning and we usually worked till noon and stop until the next day, you know, and got to be a real long harvest.
Harvest progress near the finish line for dry beans in northeast North Dakota, but wet conditions slowed the pace. Johnstown Bean Company General Manager Dylan Carley says recent rain and disease pressure trimmed yields in some fields, but the overall quality held up.
We've come in with some really good quality overall. I wouldn't say that on the light colored beans, pinto beans, navies, etc., I wouldn't say it's our best color year we've had ever, but it's certainly decent. Some of this later stuff worse. And on the black beans, it's been quite good quality throughout the year, so we've been happy with that.
USDA's drought monitor is not affected by the government shutdown. 62% of Minnesota abnormally dry, 19% in the D1 category. For South Dakota, 31% of the state considered abnormally dry, just over 5% in a D1 status. Nearly 8% of North Dakota abnormally dry, the rest of the state drought-free. The drier areas in the Peace Garden State are on the Montana border and a couple counties in the central Red River Valley. I'm Don Wick, This Week in Weather.
In the heart of every successful farm, trust is the seed that grows the strongest bonds.
At Proceed, we're not just a company. We're a community built on trust and family values.
Our dedicated employees are passionate about supporting local farmers like you.
We know your challenges because we've walked the same paths, sowed the same seeds.
We believe in building relationships that go beyond business. Relationships grounded in trust and mutual respect.
Because at Proceed, you're not just a customer. You're part of our family.
Sign up for the Red River Farm Network's weekly e-newsletter. FarmNet News arrives in your inbox every Monday morning. American Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rockstead is a subscriber.
That weekly email that the Red River Farm Network comes out with is my go-to place for ag news. If there's only one thing that I read all week in regards to ag news in the Red River Valley and nationwide, it's always your email, hands down.
FarmNet News, delivering news to your email every Monday. Subscribe at rrfn.com.